Backstage with Broadway's Best. Behind the Curtain with Joan Hamburg on 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
And look who's behind the curtain, the one and only actor, comedian, impressionist, humorous, cooker. He's a good cook. Mario Cantone.
Hello,
and
Joan.
Hello, dear heart. And you are going to be at the Carlisle, right? October 22nd through the 26th?
I am going back to the Carlisle. I'm very excited, yes.
Well.
Yep, I'm going back.
And what are you going to do?
I'm going to rage.
Huh?
And I'm going to sing. And I'm going to do impressions and hopefully be funny. And that's it. I mean, you know, I'm going to do what I do, Joan. What else can I do?
And you
I'm
do
not going to bake. I don't have a stove on stage. I'm not going to cook.
You could.
I could, but I'd have to bring in a set.
No, that's not worth it. That will be when you get your Food Network cooking
show.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know if I want to ever do that, Joan.
I know.
But I like, it's like my father owned a restaurant. I don't want to own a restaurant. I love cooking, but the pressure of having a restaurant is insane.
Awful.
And it's awful.
Hard on your feet, too.
Oh, but I love a chef more than anything.
But that's my guy. I'm talking to Mario Cantone and his return to the Carlisle. And Mario, literally, did you ever see Laugh Whore, everyone? I remember going over to the court. It's screamingly funny. And, of course, Assassins, an extraordinary show by Sondheim. And brilliant direction. Well, an amazing career. But I was thinking about you the other day. I haven't gone to see Judy yet.
Oh, yes.
And this is perfect. Tell me.
Yeah. I saw it the Thursday night when it came out because, you know, I had to go see it right away. She's a hell of an actress, and I think she's really good in it. She doesn't sound like her when she sings. She doesn't move like her when she sings.
Mm-hmm.
But her acting is pretty damn good. Her close-up shots and her performance in her scenes are pretty great. I was very moved by her. I don't know why. And I just kind of bought into the singing and went, this is what you're going to get singing-wise. So you either buy into it or you go, you know, you get angry and you walk out. It looks really good too. It's shot beautifully. It's not a good screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she's good. The girl that plays the young Judy Garland.
Is she good?
She's a beautiful little girl, and I think she's a good actress, but I just don't think she had the energy that the young Judy Garland. I thought she was miscast.
Right. Well, and you would know if you've never watched Mario do parodies of Judy Garland and Liza Minnelli, you have really missed something.
Well, I'm doing it again. I'll be doing it at the Carlisle.
Of course.
I will. I'll do it there. I like doing it.
When did you start with impressions? You know, you've done so much theater and a lot of comedy. So what happened?
I think like when I was really young, I think when I was in my, I guess what, when Laughing was on, I think the first impressions I did were like of Edith Ann, Lily Tomlin's Edith Ann, and her operator Ernestine, and then I did Paul Lynde because I used to watch Bewitched, and then Paul Lynde had his own show,
mm-hmm.
For like one season called The Paul Lynde Show, which they show on Audience every Saturday night at 11:30. I found it one night, and I was like, oh, my God, it's the Paul Lynde show. He was married to Martha. But I would do Paul Lynde, and I would do Lily Tomlin impressions. So I started with that. One of my very first impressions, and I still do her, was Julia Child. I don't know. This all happened, elementary school and middle school, or we called it junior high school
right
back then. So, yeah.
And you were so funny doing that. You were more Julia than Julia. I'll never forget watching you do that.
I love doing Julia Child. She's fun to do. And I did her for her once when I was doing Steampipe Alley, the children's show that I used to do on WWOR TV and Channel 9 when I was filming in Secaucus. She was on the morning show there at the time. This was in the late 80s, early 90s. And they showed her me doing her. And she said, look, we're wearing the same sweater. We're wearing the same color sweater. She said, I was like, oh my God, that was her comment. But she had a good sense of humor about it. But it's, but you know, it's true though. I love chefs. Like all the like I didn't know her. But all the chefs that I love, I have to know. Isn't that crazy?
No, I understand that. First of all, you grew up in a restaurant business, so you more than most people understand what it takes.
I do. I respect them a lot. I do. But yeah, so that's when I was doing impressions when I was very young, and then I started, you know, building my library of impressions and just and doing them as I went along, and that was it. And then, but there were certain ones I was resistant to. Like it took me a long time to actually do Judy Garland on stage because I just, you know, I was like, this is in the 80s. I was like, you know, I'm gay enough. My career is over as it is. I already do Betty Davis. That's enough. But then I was like, yeah, I had certain people that were like, you got to do Judy Garland. I was like, all right. So I started doing it. And now I can't stop.
And everyone wants you to do it wherever we go. We could even be at someone's house. And poor Mario, he can't get a break.
No,
so is Judy here tonight?
Oh, they. And they're always like that. They always try to egg me on. Where's Judy? I'm like, she's right here. She's right here in bed with Liza, telling her a bedtime story about the three little pigs, which is a terrible nightmare of a story. I don't know if the wolf ever ate them or blew the house down. And when they ran away, where did they go? I don't know. I don't know, Liza. Don't ask me so many questions about these horrible fairy tales that I'm telling you in bed with Liza, Lorna, and Joey. Liza was in the movie, too. She had two little scenes. Some young woman played Liza in the movie Judy. I don't know who it was.
And?
But I don't know. She was there for like 2 seconds.
So you couldn't really see her?
Not really. You could see her, but you didn't get a sense of what their relationship was. It was mostly about... And I'll tell you something else. This is what pissed me off about the Judy movie, getting back to it. You know, spoiler alert, so turn it off if you don't want to hear this. But she's saying it's all about her, one of her final appearances, which was the talk of the town in London. And there was some scene where she fell on stage and people were throwing stuff at her. It was like, that never happened. That never happened.
Is that true?
No
all
way.
Made up?
I think so. And there's one point she walks on stage. The audience can't even tell if she's drunk or if she's messed up. She didn't even begin to sing yet, so they can't even tell if her voice is good or bad. And all of a sudden, they just start booing her and throwing stuff at her. I'm like, why are they doing this? And then she fell. No, I don't believe that. I doubt it. I know there were many times towards the end where she wasn't in the greatest voice.
But she did it.
Which is the reason why Renee Zellweger gets away with the singing performance. Uh-huh. Because it's just why you kind of accept it. But no, I don't believe she ever fell on stage. She was the greatest entertainer that ever lived. And, you know, she was a victim of a lot of things. Of being handed drugs by studio heads.
Right.
Make her thin and wake her up and put her to sleep. You know.
Crazy times.
It was crazy times. And it's tough to take responsibility for it once you're a little older and have to kind of get out of it. Now, if you do drugs, you take responsibility for it. There's too much information about, you know, forget how you were brought up. You've got to take responsibility for what you do and sober up. Back then, they didn't know. It was a different thing.
No.
It was years ago. Anyway.
And that's how they controlled her. And Liza's still everywhere.
Yeah, I know. She's still around. She's still doing the thing. She lives in L.A. and she's still doing it. She outlived it all. Good for her.
Good for her. And she still brings in the crowd.
She does.
You know,
she's captivating. You know, no matter what you listen to her, Liza Minnelli. You watch her. When I saw her last show on Broadway, she's just really, She's captivating.
No, I agree. She knows how to get the audience in there. Talking to Mario Cantone. And by the way, the kids who work at the station were talking about you, because now that Sex and the City is in syndication, there's Anthony again.
Yo, God, it's great to turn the channel and see yourself.
There you are.
It's horrifying. I'm like, there I am, it's 12 years ago. Shut it off. Yeah. It's on everyone. It's on like syndication. It's on all the time.
I love that. Can you make a lot of money from that?
Joe, we'll talk about that later. But the answer is no.
What a pity.
I know. Believe me, it's a pity. But you know, what can you do? I wish it. If it was a network show, we would have. But it wasn't. It was different times at HBO.
All right, whatever it is, you're at the Carlisle, the 22nd through the 26th. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you all know Mario, but if you've never watched him perform and you need to just laugh, there's nothing better than laughing, then you've got to see it. I could see him do the same thing 20 times, and I'm still laughing so hard that I'm crying.
You know, I'm like a great Lucy repeat.
Yeah. But it's the best. So you can do it by going to TicketWeb or just go over to the Carlisle on 76th Street in Madison and make a reservation. I promise you a treat. Mario, I'll see you soon.
Oh, Joan, thank you for everything. I will see you soon.
I look forward to it. Mario
Cantone. And to all your listeners, a good night, a good afternoon, and a good day. As Joan Crawford would say, bless you all.
Thank you, Mario.
Bye.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.